Welcome into Public Perspectives here on AM 1340 KXCO. Ray Michaels joined by Corporal Justin Dunn, the Public Information Officer for the Missouri State Highway Patrol Troop B in Macon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for giving up part of your morning to be with us today. We want to talk a little bit about boating and highway safety as we approach the holiday weekend. Gas prices being what they are, folks may be staying a little closer to home, but that doesn't mean that accidents can't happen. Justin, what's the number one thing that drivers and boaters both can do to avoid being in a crash?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So, yeah, as we move into these busy peak travel times, especially in the summer when people are trying to enjoy these holiday weekends, we see a lot of traffic crashes that happen due to obviously distracted driving, impaired driving, and then just too fast for conditions or speeding. So we see three contributing circumstances when it comes to that, and those are speeding, impaired driving, and distracted driving. So we want to reiterate to drivers that as we come into this holiday weekend, be prepared for those increase in traffic flow. We are expecting more people to be on the roadways, more people to be on our waterways as well. Now, I will tell you this, we have seen a decrease this year in the amount of boaters that we have seen so far this year on the waterways, and we think some of that is contributing to the high gas prices. It's same with as well as our roadways, but I don't want people to think that there's not going to be an increase in traffic flow. There's definitely going to be an increase in traffic flow on the roadway. So just be prepared for those increases in traffic flows. Limit those distractions when you're on the roadway. Make sure you always wear your seatbelt. Your seatbelt is your best safety defense against unsafe drivers. And then when it comes to boating as well, your life jacket, it's your best safety device in case you get into a boating collision or you get thrown overboard. So when you get thrown overboard, that's not the time to be thinking, where's my life jacket and how can I get one? So you want to make sure it's kind of like your safety belt inside a vehicle. Your life jacket's going to be your safety device inside that actual vessel. So if you're under the age of 7, all people under the age of 7 years of age are required to have a life jacket on when they're in that vessel. So make sure that you do that. But again, just be prepared for those increase in traffic flows, increase in water flow for people being out there and enjoying the holiday weekend. Be a courteous driver, be a courteous boater. Just have patience. Getting upset with other people obviously is not going to cure the situation. It's probably going to make matters worse. So just be patient, be courteous, limit those distractions, follow all traffic laws, and be prepared for those brief instances where it may take a little bit longer to get to those locations.
Well, and being kind and patient applies to other things too, like waiting in line at the convenience store or anywhere else that may be busier this weekend too.
Absolutely. So, your kindness and your decency as a human being goes a long way. So we see those situations where you have road rage situations where people are on the roadway. That makes it a disaster for everyone. So we don't want to see those things happen. Same with on the waterways. When you're on that waterway, it's a little bit tighter corridors to where you can't really get away from people in certain areas due to your confined to that lake area. So just be cognizant of that and make safety priority of your planning. If you plan on drinking and alcohol is part of your weekend plans, make sure you have a sober chauffeur or sober captain. Never drink and drive a vehicle and never drink and operate a water vessel when you're on the water.
Great advice. Now, is the patrol going to have more officers out this weekend?
Great question. Absolutely. So during this holiday care period, we call this a care period, which stands for crash awareness reduction effort for our roadways. And we have Operation Dry Water going on over the 4th of July weekend. Now, Operation Dry Water specifically targets impaired vessel operators. So all available troopers will be patrolling, obviously, during the care period, Missouri's roadways and waterways to enforce the boating laws and the highway traffic laws and assist those boaters and stranded motorists or operators as needed. Now, obviously, if you find yourself in a situation where you're needing assistance from the Highway Patrol, you can always dial *55 on your cellular phone or 1-800-525-5555, and that will get you in contact with the nearest troop headquarters. Just let them know what your situation is, where your location is, and we will send assistance to you as soon as possible.
And there's going to be more probably stationed fairly close together on the interstates, correct?
Oh, well, absolutely. So, you know, when we say these peak travel periods, we have all available troopers on our roadways and all available troopers, water troopers on our waterways. So there's definitely going to be an increase in our presence out there. Number one, our mission is to the safety of the Missouri highways throughout our state. We want to make sure that all of our residents, as well as tourists that come through our state and travel on our roadways or our waterways, that they're safe, that they get to their destination safely, and they get home safely. So, you know, that's our number one priority. We never want to see there be a fatality on our roadways or on our waterways. We never want to see a drowning on our waterways. The bad thing is people can make some bad decisions, and bad things happen when people are making bad decisions. So we just want people to make sure that safety is part of their planning. They put that at the forefront when they're making their weekend plans, and just make sure that they're ready for the weekend, make sure that all their safety measures are in place, so that they can enjoy the weekend and obviously return home safely.
Very good. Now, how many accidents, injuries, and fatalities were there last year during the 4th of July holiday counting period?
Absolutely. So over 2021, 7 people were killed and 532 were injured in Missouri over the Missouri holiday, and in 1,139 traffic crashes over that counting period. So, you know, it's a huge number. We never want to see 7 people killed by any means. We want that to be zero, and we don't want anybody injured. So 532 injuries in those traffic crashes, as well as our boating. We actually responded and worked 12 boating crashes throughout the state. 8 were injured, and there was 1 fatality in those boating crashes last year during this time. We actually also had 1 drowning during this counting period last year. So, you know, bad things happen, and, you know, we always see it, and people say bad things happen to good people, and it is. It's a tragedy when things like that happen. So we want to do everything in our power to make sure that we can alleviate those bad situations from happening, but we can't be everywhere at once. That's why we need people to make safety a priority, make sure that they're doing what they need to do to protect their lives and everybody else's lives when they're on Missouri's roadways and waterways.
All right. And one thing here before we take our first break, besides buckle up, phone down, what are some other just general safety tips for both motorists and boaters?
So that's a great question. So, you know, obviously buckle up, phone down. We stress that all the time because of distractions. Another thing you can do is obviously prepare, give yourself extra time with the allotted amount of traffic and boaters that are going to be on our waterways and roadways. You know, give yourself extra time knowing that there's going to be more people out there so that you're not running late, that you feel you have to speed and not follow Missouri's traffic laws and break the law. So we don't want to see that. That's probable contributing circumstances that we see in traffic crashes is due to speed. Another one, obviously, is make sure you're planned and prepared that if you're going to drink alcohol, that you have a sober driver or sober captain. Never mix that with a motor vehicle or a boat craft. Bad things happen when people make those type of decisions. So slow down, be prepared. Another thing is make sure you check your boat over and make sure it's running properly. Make sure you check your vehicle over. Make sure it's running and operating properly. You can always take those into a service station, have your local boat mechanic or your local automobile mechanic check those things out, give it a brief one over, especially if you're planning on traveling long distances, so you can make sure you get to those locations safely. Make sure you have your cell phone charged fully, so if you do get in a situation you do need to use it, that you can pick up the phone and use it. However, we always recommend that you pull off on the side of the roadway and use your phone at that time. Don't drive without having a hands-free device, and never text and drive, obviously. So, you know, those are a few safety measures you can take. We also want boaters to be aware that it is illegal to discharge fireworks from the vessel. Some people are not aware of that, so I want that information to get out there. It is illegal to discharge fireworks from your vessel. So leave those fireworks in a safe place on shore and enjoy those later when you get off the boat and get back on shore. But please do not discharge fireworks from your boat. You can be cited and given a fine for that.
That's good information because I didn't know that, and I thought I was pretty well versed on watercraft rules and regulations, but that's something I didn't know, and I'm sure there are a lot of others that didn't realize that either.
Absolutely. So like I said, we like to give that information out. So just be aware of that. Make sure all your navigation lights work, and again, make sure you wear your life jackets when you're on those vessels.
Justin, let's hear your story. Where did you graduate? Where did you grow up? We want to know the full details.
Absolutely. So I was originally born and raised in Columbus, Nebraska, so I'm kind of a transplant to Missouri. I came to Missouri in 1995, and we established a residence there with my family, my mom and dad, in Marceline, Missouri, so a little town. As they call it, a Mickey Mouse town, the boyhood home of Walt Disney. So I actually grew up there and graduated from Marceline High School in 2001, have two older brothers, and I decided to go to college in Moberly. So I actually went down to Moberly, Missouri, and went to Moberly Area Community College, and I studied law enforcement and criminal justice at that point in time in my life. Went through there, graduated after 2 years with an associate's degree in criminal justice applied science, and went through their law enforcement academy there at MACC. Got a job offer as I was in the police academy there at Moberly with the Moberly Police Department. So I actually came out, was a Moberly police officer for a little while there in Moberly, and then I decided that I wanted to go and be a county deputy due to the fact that I wanted to ultimately, my ultimate goal was becoming a Missouri State Highway Patrolman. So I actually applied and got hired with the Audrain County Sheriff's Department, and I was an Audrain County Sheriff's Deputy covering Audrain County and servicing those citizens of those communities in Mexico and the area over there for several years. And then I moved back to Linn County, Marceline area, and became a Linn County deputy for a couple years until I was adopted by the Highway Patrol in 2008. So I was one of the few individuals that didn't get hired the first time. So during all this time when I was working for Moberly and Audrain County and Linn County, I was applying and seeking employment with the Highway Patrol. And, you know, those were back in the days when we were getting close to 5,000 applicants, you know, where that's not the case anymore with law enforcement and everything. It's kind of hard to get people and get good qualified people to apply. So I was fortunate in 2008 that they took a gamble on me and hired me and adopted me to come work for them. I went through their academy and graduated, and my first assignment was Putnam and Sullivan County in Troop B. So I was very fortunate. Most of my class members actually went to the concrete jungle that I call it of St. Louis and Kansas City, and I was a rural country boy, and I was very blessed. God blessed me and sent me back home is what I considered home. So Putnam and Sullivan County was not very far from where I was raised, so I was very thankful that I got my top pick in my assignment out of the academy. So I spent several years up in Putnam and Sullivan County getting my feet underneath me, learning the job of a Missouri State Highway Patrolman, at which time I allotted to transfer back home to Linn and Sheraton counties, a Marceline area, and try to work back there. And I was granted that transfer, and I went back down there in 2010-11, I think is when it was, when they granted that transfer. So I went there and went down there, and I worked for about 4.5, almost 5 years. And then I decided that I wanted to go back to Putnam and Sullivan. So I actually transferred back to Putnam and Sullivan counties while I was there with the patrol. I had done numerous different assignments, had got certified in different types of instructor schools and trainings, from firearms instructor to a Glock armor, as well as I helped with the marijuana eradication division when we were getting federal funding for that. So you name it, again, of different things I was trained and certified in, and helping other patrol employees get trained and certified in. So when I went back to Putnam and Sullivan the second time, I believe I went back there in 2015 is when they allotted my transfer back to Putnam and Sullivan. I worked there for roughly 2 more years, and then they promoted me to corporal, and I moved to Adair, Schuyler counties, and I was assigned as the assistant zone supervisor over there. So I had a sergeant there that I worked with, and another corporal, and then there was 4 other troopers that worked under me in that zone. So I helped assist and guide them and manage them on their everyday duties, as well as still working the road and doing my everyday duties. Now, when I was transferred back over and promoted to corporal in Zone 5, they also named me as the Troop B Public Information and Education Backup Officer for the Troop B area. So I actually started my position in public information and learning that job and things under Eric Brown at that time. I actually did assist Sergeant Brent Bernhardt when he was with the Public Information Division in Troop B for eons. I actually assisted him with several different things when he was around. So a lot of people, when they think of Troop B Public Information, they think of Brent Bernhardt just because I believe he was 18 or 19 years in this division. So it's hard not to get your name out there and get established when you spend that much time in the division in the area and serving the citizens in the community as well as he did. So big shoes to fill on my part, but I'm up for the challenge. I think the world of Brent. So in December of 2020, Eric Brown was the acting public information education officer in Troop B, and he actually got promoted to the assistant director of the Public Information Education Division in Jeff City and was promoted to lieutenant, at which time I applied and allotted for the public information and job as a full-time officer, removing me from the road and my road duties, and I was fortunate enough to actually get that job. So in 2020, I took over as a full-time public information officer in Troop B, and here I sit as we speak. So, like I said, big shoes to fill. I enjoy my job. I love it every day, you know, chasing taillights and stopping cars and enforcing traffic laws. Obviously, that's what we do as a law enforcement agency. But I was ready for a change, I'll be honest with you. And my job now is going out and educating the public, giving information and dealing with the media. And I'm very blessed to be in the position I am. I'm very blessed to have the staff that we have and the backing that we have that they give us public information officers throughout the state to let us do our job. So I'm very blessed to be in the position I am. I'm very proud to be where I'm at and be serving and assisting the citizens of Missouri. So I can't ask for a better place to live and a better community to serve.
And Justin, you were actively involved in that Amtrak accident that killed four and injured several earlier in the week outside of Minden. Now, that crossing had no barriers or lights, correct?
Correct. So I think the railroad, they refer to it as a passive intersection. They have passive intersections and active intersection is what they refer to their intersections as. So the public understands a passive intersection, according to their definition, is an intersection that doesn't have lights or a crossbuck arm with lights. And it's basically signaled and has bells and whistles and things like that that goes off to let somebody know that a train is approaching that intersection or is in the intersection. So that is an active intersection. So a passive intersection is one that does not have those lights and bells and cross arms that come down. So passive to them would be like something that's just got the railroad crossing crossbuck signage there to let them know that there's a railroad crossing ahead or they're approaching a railroad crossing. And then, you know, whether there's a stop sign there, you know, the traffic safety for the stop sign or whatnot. But that basically was a passive intersection that just had the railroad sign saying that there was a railroad crossing at that location.
And that is like a lot of rural crossings all over Missouri. So what should motorists do when they encounter a crossing like that that doesn't have lights?
So obviously, you know, when we live in these rural areas, you have a lot of farmers, a lot of people that may travel these roadways every single day, and they go over these railroad crossings every single day, and they get very complacent when it comes to these railroad crossings in the sense of, oh, I've already crossed this, you know, 100 times, and there's not a train when I cross it. So they get to where their complacency, they get to where they don't stop. They don't look and they don't listen. So we always want people to know, you know, no matter how many times you've gone across that location, you know, never get complacent to that. You need to always slow down, come to a complete stop, roll your windows down, look both ways several times, and listen for that train horn or the vibration or the sound of a train or anything coming down that track. You know, if you're not going to do those things, a disaster can happen at any point. You know, some of them bigger trains that are a lot longer, obviously they're not traveling very fast on those tracks, and people think that they can beat them. So they try to speed up and try to get around them. I'm not saying that's the case in this. We haven't got to the bottom of that. You know, the investigation's still ongoing, you know, but we see that a lot, you know, and I'm sure people in the communities have seen that a lot, know a train's coming, and they don't want to wait for that train, so they speed up and try to get through that intersection and try to beat the train. You know, that's flirting with a really bad situation to happen doing that. Never do that in a situation. Slow down, wait, give that train time to get through that intersection and move out. Make sure it's safe before you cross it. That's the best advice we can give people, is just never get complacent when it comes to those railroad crossings. Even if it does have lights and signals, still, don't rely on those lights and signals to be working. Mechanical failures can happen, and those can be not working at those locations. So whether it's got lights and signals on it or not, always stop, look, and listen, and give yourself that extra time, because it could be a few seconds that you need that could be a life-saving decision on your part.
Now, I did a little bit of research this morning, and according to the Association of American Railroads, train traffic is up slightly from last year at this time. So with that being said, do you expect perhaps there will be more crossing accidents similar to what happened in Minden?
I would surely hope not. Just because that train traffic's increasing, as long as people are making, it just goes back to roadway safety, just making safety part of your planning and doing the right things on your end. We shouldn't see those situations happen like that. The bad thing is how does the train, they're so heavy, they're not going to stop in any short amount of time with an incident like that. So again, if you're trying to outrun that train or get ahead of that train, you're basically playing chicken with a train, and that's not a good course of action and not a good standing of safety to be doing when you're out here on the roadway. So again, I just can't reiterate it enough. Don't get complacent. Even if you live around the tracks, never get that complacency going. Always stop, look, and listen. The bad thing is we're in a hurry up society. Everybody wants to get somewhere fast. Everybody needs to be somewhere fast. That's why I can't stress enough. Just make sure you always give yourself that added time into your destinations when you're going somewhere. I understand we can miss an alarm, we could be running late and that sort of thing, but being late to work in a few minutes is definitely better than losing your life and making a bad decision and being involved in a traffic crash or a train crash. Just give yourself that extra time to get to those locations. Make safety priority your planning.
Thank you. I could not have said that any better, but yes. And the fact that this crash has generated national attention, I think, will raise awareness as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a tragedy, no matter which way you go with it. Our hearts and feelings go out for those families that had lost loved ones during this. And the same thing for the injured that were involved in this. I'm sure they're going to be dealing with injuries and trauma and traumatic memories of the situation, and how do you get that back? You can't get that back. So we don't want to make any situations worse when people are out here. So we just want everybody to be safe and get to their destination safely. And like I say, I just can't stress it enough, as far as making sure you're wearing your seatbelt when you're in your vehicle, make sure you're following the traffic laws and limit those distractions. Again, those distractions are a big probable contributing circumstances to accidents. Whatever it is, it can wait. We don't need to be Facebooking. We don't need to be Snapchatting. We don't need to be, texting and things when we're driving in a vehicle. There's a time and a place for those times to be done. And when you're driving a vehicle and operating a vessel or a vehicle, that's not the time nor the place.
Very good. I think that's a perfect way to end a Public Perspectives on this 4th of July holiday weekend. Justin Dunn, the Public Information Officer with the Missouri State Highway Patrol Troop B office in Macon, thank you for giving up part of your Saturday morning to be with us, and have a great weekend, would you?
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. If you need anything in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out. I really appreciate it.
We certainly will do that. Justin Dunn, thank you so much. Public Perspectives, AM 1340, KXCO.